They do a good job. Colossians in your Bible, chapter 1, beginning with verse number 9 in Colossians. This chapter deals with what God wants for each of us. It reveals who Christ is and what He has done. Beginning with verse 9, Colossians 1. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. In verse 14 through 19, the Bible exalts who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And then in verse 20 through 22, it reveals what He has done, having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Let us pray. Father, as we look into Your Word today, I ask that You'll help me to be a blessing to Your people, that as we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, allow us to honor mothers here today as well. And Lord, may all of us emulate the truths of the Scripture in our daily walk with You, that we might find purpose in our lives and we might give honor and praise to You. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now we are honoring mothers today. There's a dinner to follow the service at noon, and it's down in the gym. Most of you have been here before, just walk down to the gym. There'll be lines on both sides of the tables, and get you some food and have a seat and enjoy the meal, and you can come back for seconds and be a help to those that have small children or anything of that nature. Any way you can assist people, especially our men, it's Mother's Day, so let's help the mothers all we possibly can. Christian ladies, what a blessing you are in serving the Lord through the church. The church couldn't function without all the ladies and the ministries they have and what they do. And we count on you quite often in the work of the ministry. Of course, Sunday's the Lord's Day. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We honor Him who is above all. And we all want to worship Him today and draw close to Him, and have that feeling in our heart that God is pleased with us in what we are doing in our worship today. People go through life seeking purpose, happiness, sometimes excitement and thrills, looking for pleasure. Some are waiting for some great awakening to happen that's going to transform their life into something different. I'm 65 years old. I've waited all this time for some long-lost rich uncle to call me up and tell me I have an inheritance that I didn't know about and it hadn't happened yet. I've also bought magazines from the Reader's Digest sweepstakes or Publisher's Clearinghouse or whatever it was. And I did win the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes one time. I got a check for $10. I ordered a magazine that cost $5 on discount, so I ordered that magazine, and I got a check back in the mail for $10, and that might have paid the postage on the other entries that I've sent in all these years, you know, hoping to win some money, and it hadn't happened. But we often are looking for something like that to transform our life, when the greatest transformation that can ever happen is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and be translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And then a transformation begins in you as you are being conformed into the image of Christ throughout the remainder of your days. If we view things as purpose for our life in the wrong perspective, we'll get in trouble. We'll follow the wrong things. We'll pursue life with the wrong means. and it'll come back to haunt us in the end. Some rebel against the restraints and the prohibitions that parents institute in the home, the beliefs that we have in our morals of what the Bible teaches. And as we teach those things, sometimes people rebel against those. Adam and Eve were disobedient to God in the Garden of Eden as they pursued something that God had forbidden. We often think about maybe just a little disobedience is not so bad. But Adam and Eve were just disobedient to God and plunged the whole world into the sin problem that we have today. God expects obedience from us, and though we all fail, that should be our goal. That should be what we strive for, to be obedient unto God and to follow His Word and not rebel against Him and choose alternatives for how things are going to take place so that we have our own way of doing things. God has laid out in His Word how we are to live, how to be a mother, how to be a dad, how to be a child, how to become an adult. All these things God has given us outlines for in the Scriptures. And He reminds us with all of the Old Testament stories that many families that He greatly used for His honor and glory failed in many ways. But they came back to God and they found forgiveness and restoration. And that's characteristic of our lives as well. Sometimes people fail to heed the warnings that are given because they're seeking excitement. They're influenced by other people. And they don't recognize the dangers of sins and the destructive consequences that can happen as a result of their choices. They search for purpose and self-worth in life. And they often compare that self-worth and purpose with what they do rather than what they are. If you ask most men, you know, who are you? They'd tell you what they do for a living. They'd tell you what their career choice is. They'd tell you what they have become as a successful person in the pursuit of what they're doing in life. But that's not really what we are. That's just what we do. As a Christian, what we are is we're a child of God. And that's the most important thing that we can have. And building upon that foundation of Jesus Christ, we find purpose for our life that exceeds anything this world could offer in success. Sadly, some pursue alcohol and drugs and sexual relationships outside marriage, seeking happiness and pleasure in life. And there are grave dangers that come with those kinds of choices. I don't have to explain all the details to you. You see it happen in the newspapers every day. You see it happen with people you're related to and neighbors and people you care about. And sometimes it's happened to some of us. By the grace of God, we find forgiveness and restoration. And we're here today in the house of the Lord. God's way is what is best for us. God's way is what is good. Jesus said to the people of Israel who were bound under similar circumstances to what we saw of the Taliban in Afghanistan and Iraq, how they forced their religion upon the people. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were forcing religion upon the people of Israel that day. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Christ said, if you follow me, what you will find is a peace and a happiness and a joy and a satisfaction that does not bind you like the burden that the Pharisees and the Sadducees would put upon you. Christ can give us what we're searching for in life with purpose and meaning. Have you found purpose for your life? My fan's blowing that piece of paper over there and it's flapping. It's bothering me. It's distracting me. And I failed to put on this thing when I walk away from the pulpit. Those that have hearing assistance can't hear me. And they can turn me up or down with the sound equipment this way. Are you pursuing God's purpose for your life? Mothers have found a great purpose in life as a mom that not anything else can compare with. Our Savior had a mother, Mary. What a wonderful example she was as a young girl to give herself unto the Lord. Do you remember when the Pharisees and Sadducees were always asking Jesus questions and arguing with him and trying to trap him? And they were talking about, we're the sons of Abraham. And Jesus said, no, you're not. You're the sons of the devil. He said, if you were the sons of Abraham, you would have believed on me. And they said, we were not born of fornication. They still accused the Savior of being born of fornication because Mary was expectant with child before she and her husband were married because of the virgin birth. And the whole purpose of the virgin birth was that Christ did not have a sin nature so that you and I could be saved because of His sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Motherhood is important. We can talk about a lot of mothers. Talk about grandmother and mother that influenced young Timothy as a preacher for God. We could talk about the example of so many of the women in the Bible and the influence that they have had. But today, first of all, I want us to think about this passage in Colossians and how we can find God's purpose in salvation, first of all. Most folks would be honest if you asked them, would you rather go to heaven than hell? And most people would be honest and say they'd rather go to heaven than go to hell. They're just not sure they're willing to do what they think it takes in order to get there. And there's always a few of these old good old boy redneck men. I was one of them one time. You know, oh, I'd rather go to hell. That's where all my friends are going to be. That is a foolish, foolish statement. Hell is a real place. Hell is a horrible place. Hell is a place where you want to do everything in your power to avoid. And the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary to keep you out of that place if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. If you want life to make sense, if you want purpose for your life that helps you throughout your days and what you're doing, then know the Lord as your Savior and find forgiveness of your sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ, and it will begin to make purpose of the future that you have. God made man to have a relationship with Him, and sin separated man from God. And God planned redemption for man. Knowing what man would do, how man would fail, God set about throughout all eternity. God had redemption of man in mind. And He brought Christ as a babe in a manger for that purpose, that He might go to Calvary and pay the price for you and for me. God created man and woman, and He joined the two of them together. They became husband and wife. And He told them to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 and 28. And in chapter 3 and verse number 20, Adam said of his wife Eve, she became the mother of all that was living. Everything alive, Eve was the mother. And you ladies are quite often the mother. You're the mother to the children. You're the mother to your husband. I've known some men that call their wife mother, you know. And they do that usually because the kids call her mother all the time, so they get in the habit of calling. My wife gets grandma more now than she does any other name that she goes by. And they call me Papa. I like that, really. Better than grandpa or granddad or any of that. I like Papa, and they call me that, and that's great. But I'd answer to whatever they call me. It wouldn't matter. You pick up names. You become the mother of all that is living in your home. That includes the goldfish in the bowl and the cat that sleeps on the couch and the dog in the yard barking all night long. You're the mother of everything that's living around your house. You got a role in it. You got a responsibility. The man is the brains and the head, and the woman is the heart. And the woman is the mother of all the things that are living in your home. And she will find purpose in that when she submits herself to God to be who God would have her to be. There'll be purpose in her life that nothing else can compare with. No accolade, no trophy, no title from the rest of the world can compare with that which pleases God and was intended by God, like that title, Mother. I've heard it said that their two greatest words in the English language are mother and home. They bring peace to people's minds. They bring comfort and strength and help. And they are two of the great words that we would use. God has a plan and a purpose for us in our morals, in our lifestyle, in the way that we live. And when we submit ourselves to that, we find peace and comfort and purpose in life. Now, Adam and Eve were tempted to disobey God and to go astray. And when they did, a great conflict developed. They were tempted and yielded to that temptation to be their own boss for a moment. You see, God determines what's right and what's wrong. You get into college, sometimes college professors will instill in the minds of the students that you should rebel against everything your parents have taught you, and you should become in charge, and you should follow their philosophy of life and what's right and what's wrong. Let me tell you what, that professor doesn't have the right to do that, and I don't have the right to do that. God has the right to do that. And God's already established in His Word what is right and what is wrong. And when you know the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God guides you in that. So you don't have to pull out a list, you know, like I do when I go somewhere. Went to the Marino's house yesterday for the first time to eat for Fabian's graduation celebration, you know, to commend him for his graduation. And they had a get-together and some wonderful food, amazing. She's a great cook. Also, Karen made a cheesecake that was just, man, it was delicious. So, you know, we were going there, and I had to get the directions out, you know, the name of the street and all that sort of thing. My wife's got GPS on her phone telling me to turn in 800 feet. That's not 800 feet. It's about 400 feet from the entrance of the Taylor of Oak to where you turn right there, you know. GPS don't always talk about half the time. It'll send you the wrong way if you aren't careful. And it may, you know, send you in a way that you can get to the place where you're going, but you'll drive like Jerry Boyce wanted to use his GPS when we went to a pastor's meeting, and we drove 90 miles out of the way to get to the place where we're going. We got there. I said, I know where this is. I could have driven straight here half the distance which we just drove. Anyway, I like a map. I like directions. I'm not real confident in some of the technology. And so I had to pull out my map and check on things. You know, when you know God and the Holy Spirit lives within you, every time you face a decision, you don't have to pull out a map to decide what to do. The Spirit of God will guide you to know right from wrong so that you make the right choices that are pleasing in His eyes. God's plan and purpose for motherhood. God's plan and purpose for us all. How we live and our morals and what pleases Him. Adam and Eve made a choice to be their own boss, their own God, to choose right and wrong for themselves, to follow the temptation that Satan laid out for them. And by God's grace and mercy, they found forgiveness and a substitute for their sins, just like Christ substituted Himself on Calvary for you and for me. Proverbs 14 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Many make wrong choices that bring hazardous results. The temptation that Adam and Eve faced was to choose for themselves rather than to follow and be obedient to what God had told them. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they ate of it, and they disobeyed God. Proverbs chapter 3 gives us a long influence. I won't read it for the time, but beginning in verse number 5 down through verse number 18, it guides us in the decisions we make so that God guides our life and we find purpose and blessing in being obedient unto Him. Secondly, this morning, God's purpose for believers is to become like Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible tells us that, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." We face a lot of things in life that shape us and mold us and make us into the person that God would have us to be. And they're not all fun and games. They're like a spiritual boot camp. All of you that are in the military, you know what boot camp was like. But it helped you become the soldier that you were going to be. It trained you. It conditioned you. It got you ready, but that isn't easy. Some of you go to the gym or you work out on the treadmill or you ride the bicycle and you see the hardness of that breaking a sweat, but you know it has a benefit to you and a help to your health. And God's Word and His will in our lives works the same way. We face in life things that shape our character, that help us to have integrity and purpose in life. And if we don't follow the Word of God, it is so easy to go astray of those things. God has purpose for us to avoid sexual sins. And He made it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you want to avoid sexual sins, then let every man have his own wife and every wife have her own husband. You know, one of the problems with that is that people sometimes are waiting for that male model or that female model to come along that they want to marry. Look in the mirror. Quit listening to the toothpaste commercials and the hairspray commercials and all of that stuff. It tells you if you'll use their product, you know, that, you know, some guy's going to jump out of a convertible that looks like a, I can't even remember that guy's name, was on the cover of all those books years ago. What was his name?
Fabio,
yeah. Oh, not Fabian, Fabio. And he's going to jump out of a convertible and bring you some flowers and all that sort of thing. It ain't going to happen. You better start looking for the character on the inside of that person, because that's what you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life.
Amen.
My wife and I, amen. That's exactly right. It's okay. That's good. Lord willing, my wife and I, on the 18th of this month, will celebrate 46 years that we have been married. And we have had struggles and trials and troubles of life. We quit our careers and went back to college and raised four children and have 12 grandchildren. And we've been through all the same things that you go through in life with all those same kinds of struggles. In our marriage, we are becoming, number one, submissive. Ephesians chapter 5 teaches that we're to be submissive to God. That means obey His Word. Submissive to each other. And then God has established a chain of command where the man has a responsibility and the wife has a responsibility in submission to him and the children have a responsibility in submission to their parents. And if we don't do that, then we're headed for trouble. Sacrificial love, we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, is a part of that growth in the works that we do, are showing the love that we have. When we say to a person, I love you, we're usually thinking of a male-female, we're thinking of romantic love. And that's not wrong. You've been married very long, you better keep some romance in the relationship. But the main thing with God is that sacrificial giving love that exceeds the romantic relationship. And it shows itself in the works that we do. In a marriage, they're to be sanctified, to be set apart unto each other and away from others. Ephesians 5 says to be filled with the Spirit, and that we will have the result of that in a joyful life. And being filled with the Spirit and having the joy of the Lord is along with the verses that deal with marriage and the husband and wife relationship in Ephesians chapter 5. Spiritual maturity. Training our mind to turn problems into projects. I love people that can do that. That can take a problem and build a project to solve the problem. Some folks are so good at working with their hands and working with woodwork and mechanicking on a car. Thank God for those guys mechanicking last Wednesday night on that starter, because I was no help at all. All I could do was shine my headlights. You know, That's about my fulfillment right there. But I love when people can solve problems. They can make something that eliminates a problem that they're having. I could use somebody at my house that can do that for about a year to correct a lot of the problems that we have around the home and the property and, you know, rain runoff and all these kind of things. God has a purpose in the adversities that you face. Some of the trouble and trial in life can be so hard, so dramatic, so difficult what you're facing that you can want to throw up your hands and quit. You can get in your car tomorrow morning and you can drive to work and you can stop at a red light or a stop sign. You're just sitting there thinking, you know, there's something in me that would just like to run away. Just like to turn the wrong direction and just keep going until I run out. Run away from the responsibilities. Run away from the hardships. Run away from the difficulties. There's too many people that have done that in their marriage relationships already. And that's not the answer. God has a purpose for that adversity. God has a plan for that adversity in the Christian's life. It, first of all, draws us close to Him. When you feel like quitting, you feel like you're at the end of your rope, then that's the greatest time in the world to get on your knees and pray and seek the face of God and ask for His help and His intervention. Adversity in life comes along. It might be chastening sometimes for something wrong that we've done. It should make us look in the mirror and see if there's something in our life that we need to correct because we're facing adversity for what we've been doing in our life. That adversity should also show us that God loves us as His child, because if He's correcting us, Hebrews 12 says He corrects every son whom He loves. And God loves you and wants to correct in your life. Adversity can be God's call for self-examination, because if we judge ourselves, then we won't be judged. Adversity conquers pride. Proverbs says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And adversity helps us to overcome our pride. We see we don't have all the answers. We can't do everything there is to be done. We're going to face some things where we don't have what we need to get through it. But with God's help, we can get through it. And that adversity will draw us close to Him. Adversity reminds us of our own weakness so that we might put on the armor of God. Because adversity reminds us that we're in a spiritual warfare. And we need the help of God to battle in this warfare. Adversity causes us to purify our faith. Adversity helps us to see that evil and sin are what they are, and the results of them what they do, so that we might make the choices not to let ourselves get into those traps, because we see the results of what happens in the lives of others who have made those wrong choices. Adversity reminds us to pray for those who are in authority. So it's not just decisions we make every day, but there are people making decisions for us. We need to pray. Tuesday, there's an election. The 5th District Congressman will be elected of one or two men from York County. They're both Republicans. They will eventually face a race against a Democrat when the re-election time comes up, but they're fulfilling a seat that Mick Mulvaney left when he went to work for Trump in the budget department. And these men are both from York County, and both of them have strengths and both of them have weaknesses. And I don't like mudslinging, you know, politics. There's been a little of that going on, some would say a lot. But I still remember when Jim Hunt ran in North Carolina. This isn't a scratch the surface of the kind of mud they threw. But I don't like it at all. I wish they'd say, you know, I know this man and I'm praying for him. But they got these professional hacks that work for them that tell them that's not how you win the campaign. You got to do this. You got to tell all the weaknesses and all the faults. This other. Anyway, Tuesday we got a chance to vote. If you live in South Carolina, for a new congressman. And you know, the number one thing we need to do is pray. Pray for the congressman. Pray for who you're going to vote for. Pray about it and do it. Go vote. It's important that we cast our ballots. Adversity. Praying for those in authority. They make decisions that will affect us in our state. They make decisions that will affect the country in the laws that are being made and the restrictions that come along. Number 10, adversity is a signal that our priorities might be out of order. We constantly have to realign our priorities to make sure that we're still doing the things that we know are right to do and that we're not making the wrong choices. Adversity will sift friends. You get through a serious time of adversity, you'll see who you can count on and who you can't. Adversity reminds us to be accountable unto our loved ones. And it identifies us with Christ so that we have opportunity to be a witness for Him and to influence other people's lives. Every family has adversity. Every business has adversity. Every person has adversity. And every marriage, if it lasts long enough, will have adversity. Every mom, God bless you. No matter how much you love and how much you want to do right and all, you're going to face adversity in life. Raising kids and raising a family. These things equip us to be able to comfort other people who will go through the same things that we're going through today. You face things in your life that will let you help your children and your grandchildren because they're going to face the same things that you have faced in adversity. Mom, your character develops over time so that you benefit from the trials and the tests of life. You grow because of the trials. You grow because of the adversity. You go strong when you overcome the difficulties of life. Paul wrote of God using Satan's battles to keep him humble and close to God in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. He said with the abundance of revelations he had received that God allowed the buffeting of Satan to keep him in a humble position where he relied upon God and knew that he needed God all the time. It brought about self-examination. Normally, we search the Scriptures for answers when problems come. And when we find those answers to the problems, then we're equipped to help someone else who's going to face those problems also. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." It drew him to God. It drew him close. It strengthened him. It helped him to find answers through the Word. And we grow spiritually when we find those answers through the tests and trials of life that we face. We get equipped to help our family. We get strengthened to have the answers for what we face in the difficulties of life. God wants first place in our life. And boy, we struggle sometimes with our balance to keep Him first place in our life because the demands of life will push the Lord and the church and the Bible right out of their place if we allow that to happen. Ladies, I hope you find purpose in life in God's Word and God's will for your life. We need to all disciple our children that are raising up in this generation that they might disciple their children and raise them up in the next generation. Unify our families, grounded on Christ and His Word. Moms, you have a great role in this and a great place in this, the influence for the generations to come. May we develop the fruit of the Spirit so that it is demonstrated love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are the qualities of life that God has instituted for us as Christians to live by. Remain thankful for what you have rather than allowing yourself to fall into the trap of desiring what someone else has or not being satisfied with what God has given you in His will for your life. We all need to learn contentment. And when a person is content, they've got everything because they're satisfied with what they have that God has given them. Be a godly mother or grandmother and influence the next generation for the Lord and His Word. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for the faithfulness of all these folks being here. We thank You for mothers, their influence in life, their mothers over everything that is living. And they do a great work in encouragement and comforting and helping and guiding and directing and all these things. And Lord, we need your help that we do these in the right way. And we ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.